Jamboree, ho! Jamboree, ho! You ringtail sailors coming up behind, ho! Jamboree, ho! Jamboree, Jenny, keep your tailpiece warm. Now, me lads, be of good cheer for Lundy's Isle.
Welcome to Renaissance Recall. My name is Jim Miller, where we interview the people who play in yesterday. I'm going to be your host for today, and my very first guest is Kristen Ehrlitz from the Virginia Ren Fair. And do you want to introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Kristen Ehrlitz. I'm from the Virginia Ren Fair.
She's also a smart aleck. You've read the rules about Renaissance Recall?
Yeah, the ones you just popped up on the screen.
Yes, the one that I just popped up on the screen.
Yeah.
Okay. So once you've read through those, we'll go ahead and we'll go through some of the questions.
You can't attack anyone's butt.
Read number two again.
It says butt no attacks. I thought it said no butt attacks.
Oh, we're going to have to put an explicit one on this one. Okay. The first podcast out, and we're totally explicit.
Is butt a bad word?
Sorry,
we'll change it to however. No however attacks. Sounds like a really good horror flick.
Okay.
When however attacks.
When however attacks. Oh, God. Okay. So, so you work at the Virginia Ren Fair.
I do.
And you are on the, what they call the scripted cast this year.
I am.
Okay. And what is the scripted cast about?
So the scripted cast is a group of individual characters that have been brought together. They have some scripted lines and some preset scenes with a storyline that will progress throughout the course of the day.
Awesome. So how many of these do you have in the day?
Three scenes.
Three scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And you're one of the main characters.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And why don't you tell me about your character? You don't have to go into specifics if it's going to ruin the story or anything, but give me your character.
And
you can give it to me in your fair voice or and your regular voice or either or.
All right, well, I be Izzy. And without giving too much away, I'm the awesome one.
It's so modest.
It's true.
Oh. And, well, it's, and do you work at any other fairs with this?
No.
With this particular character, or
So this is actually the first time that I'm doing this character, and it might be the only time I do this character. I don't know. She might pop up in future years, but she was just made for this script, for this season.
Oh, okay. So. So do you do? Have you done other characters before?
Yes.
Okay.
Lots of them. But
give me a couple.
All right, my favorite one is Bridget Locks, Keeper of the Keys. I really, really like her. She's a functioning sociopath-ish. She just has kind of no filter.
Mm-hmm.
And she's pretty good at her job most of the time, but every
most
now and
the
again,
time.
There's going to be... And if there's going to be a blunder, it's going to happen in the middle of court. But other than that, yeah, she's a lot of fun, and she has a lot of keys.
Yeah, like is it 30 or 40 pounds of keys at this point?
I have not weighed them, but
oh, gosh.
I mean, we've had other people take guesstimates, and I've had a lot of people go, you know, so what are those all weigh? That's like 100 pounds of keys, or no, that's only like 30 or 40 pounds of keys, and you know, you always get the odd question of, you know, are those real keys?
We do have to go over that question. There is, we've had questions ranging anywhere from, is that a real horse?
Mm-hmm.
To, is that a real person? Is that a real key? Is that a real...
Yeah, we can clear all of that up right now for anyone who's listening. All right, listeners, folks, the stuff's all real. The people are all real. The clothes are real. The stuff they're working with is real. Very rarely do you have something that's fake. Just to be there. If you've got somebody that's crafting or working on an item, that's a real something that they're making. If they're working a loom, they're making real things.
Oh, okay.
So,
what is your? We'll go back to your main character because that's this year. That's 2018.
That's this year, 2018. I be Izzy.
I be Izzy.
Mm-hmm.
And what does Izzy do?
So Izzy's really important because she's the one that pushes the main character to achieve her dreams.
Okay.
She's kind of the driving force behind the storyline, and really keeps the protagonist moving forward.
Oh, that's really important. Mm-hmm. she is a strong plot device.
Yes.
So how did you get into, if I may ask, how did you get into working Ren Faires?
I went to my first Ren Faire when I was 18 years old, and as a patron, just to visit and see what it was all about. A friend took me. She had been several times and loved it. And it was actually out of state. We had to drive for quite a while to get to the first fair that we went to. And she made me, like, an outfit to wear.
Oh, okay.
So we went. We had a great time. It was awesome and amazing, and I just loved the whole world that enveloped me that weekend. And then on our way home, I asked her if there was, like, more of these things we could go to. And she said, yeah, they're all over the country. As a matter of fact, there's one about 30 minutes away from where we live. But this was, at this time, it was in the fall, and that one wasn't until spring. So when spring rolled around, I took my little outfit out of the trunk, and we went, and we checked it out. And it was so much fun, and I was just instantaneously hooked. And there was a woman that was there performing that day, and she just kind of became my instant idol. She was just amazing and awesome, and I really enjoyed not only watching her, but it wasn't so much that I idolized her, but I wanted to be her. And so after her performance, I went over, I talked to her for a little bit, and she was awesome. She answered every question I had, and I asked her how somebody could do what she was doing, and her first response was audition.
It's just that easy.
It's just that audition. Easy. You find out when the auditions are, and you go audition. So I did, and I've been doing it ever since.
Oh, okay. Do you have any really good stories?
Give
you some time for that one, because the next question is, what has been your best experience? Like, that experience that pops out. So they don't have to be, they can be the same.
Right.
Or they can be different. But what do you, do you want to start the best experience or the good stories first?
Well, so let's take a half a step back, because I do have some really awesome stories, but some of them are going to break the rules. So
let's not say we didn't.
Right. So I think one of my all-time favorite experiences, and it's really, really simple, and it happens every single year. I get to watch it happen actually during the rehearsal process, where we have new folks that have never done this before and come in. Some of them have a theater background, some of them don't. Some are historians, some are not. There's people from every walk of life imaginable, and small children to really old folks, men, women, historians, actors, all these different people. And you see this progression of day one is a bunch of people. Some of them don't know each other, and they're standing in the middle of a field not really knowing what they're doing there yet. All the way through the rehearsal process and into the performance process, and you start to see them come together, start to trust each other, start to get to know each other, start to interact with each other, and then come the performance, when you add patrons to that mix, and you just end up with this wonderful mix, this community that has formed in and of itself and come together. And you see people who have never done anything like this before, and they're really, really shy, and they come out of their shell. And you see people that come in and they're not shy at all, but they end up blossoming toward the end of the run.
Oh, so this is during like,
what they're going to be.
What they refer to as the kind of Ren Faire boot camp that the Virginia Faire kind of puts on to get people up to speed.
Well, it's, you know, we have a few weeks before we open to the public that everybody is getting comfortable with their own characters and with each other's characters, getting to know what everybody does and what their role is at that fair. And they get practice, a lot of practice with their improvisational skills, mm-hmm. as well as the history of the time and how to create. They're not just creating characters, they're creating people of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so to watch that progression happen, but even outside of their characters, you can watch the people grow together and become a community.
Mm.
And then when we open up on that first performance day and patrons start coming and start visiting with us, they also become part of that community. And everything that happens on the outside world,
mm-hmm.
they don't think about it for that day. They're not concerned about it for that day that they're at fair with us. And they get to interact with us and perform with us. And for a moment, for a single moment in time, they're just there. And they're just enjoying, and they're living it, and they're being part of it without any outside influences.
Oh, so it's very immersive. It's
incredibly immersive.
Incredibly immersive. And that's what you're kind of going for. That's an excellent story. Is that what would you, without getting us and yourself in trouble, what is your best experience with the fair?
So I get to do a lot of stage combat. And there's when you do that, there's this little high that you get, this little adrenaline rush.
I know
that happens, and that to me, you never get tired of that, and it doesn't matter what the scene is or what the moment is. Once you experience that little moment of adrenaline rush, and you can that will push you. You can survive on that for a couple hours. And so for me, it's not only that moment of getting to do it and having that adrenaline rush, but when the crowd gets involved,
mm-hmm.
it just makes it bigger, more intense, more awesome.
You absorb the energy from the crowd and it just starts, you know.
Absolutely.
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 You get a best experience every time you go out there and fight for a while.
Yeah. Well, then there was this one time too. That there was this little kid that just came running up to me. I'm terrified of children. I mean, I'm just absolutely terrified of children. They make me so uncomfortable.
Possibly was, not something we would have put on the podcast, but
it's true. No, so,
I mean, it's honest that you can you've separated yourself, you know, from it, and you can move past it.
That's, right. I usually just kind of get through it. But I was sitting on the ground and this child just came running up to me. I have no idea who this kid is. Mm-hmm. This kid just came running up to me and sat down right in front of me and started talking to me. And I was being Bridget Locks that day, Keeper of the Keys, and she started playing with all the keys that I had and talking. I assumed she was talking to me about them. I couldn't really understand her because, they don't have the best linguistical skills. And so she's playing with all the keys and talking to me about all the keys, and she just started cracking up and runs away and then drags her mom over and is showing her mom the keys. And I just became this instantaneous prop. I didn't have to say anything. I didn't have to do anything. She was so enamored just with these keys that were hanging off my belt. And so that is actually probably one of my best fair moments, because no amount of rehearsals or preparation or idea factorying, if that's a word, could have possibly made that moment happen. It just happened.
That's a really good point. I mean, that's very rare that it would pop out through there.
Yeah, it's the unexpected things.
So what are some of your other hobbies that actually kind of interact with this, because Virginia Fair is a volunteer organization.
Mm-hmm.
So this is technically, you're volunteering for the event. Is there any of your hobbies or other things that kind of overlap with this, or is this, you know, completely separate?
I have a lot of other hobbies. I'm a horseback rider, mm-hmm. and I do mounted archery. So that, from a historical standpoint, mm-hmm. Kind of relates, but they're not, you know, I don't do mounted archery at fair. That's separate.
Okay.
And I enjoy doing some crafting. I can sew a little bit, but I actually hate sewing. So that's not, I wouldn't call that a hobby. That's something I have to know how to do.
Fair.
To get by in life. So I do that. I enjoy photography. I really like to travel when I have the opportunity to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very involved in the agricultural community. So that's kind of a passion of mine, is agriculture and farming in my community.
Oh, wow. I mean, there's a lot of crossover with the horses and the mounted archery and
mm-hmm.
Your outfits. Do you work on those yourself, or is it?
So I actually, credit where credit is due, my mother usually makes my garb. I just recently got to the point where I can cut everything out, and some of it I can piece together myself. But for the most part, especially the fitted pieces, I really need a lot of her help with that, because that's just, I'm more well acquainted with a seam ripper than I am the sewing machine. So...
No, that's completely fair. That is completely fair. But we know each other because we're on the cast together,
mm-hmm.
and we've fought before.
Yes.
I think you stabbed me with a cannon plunger. I'm not exactly sure.
So it was actually an axe handle. Yes.
Because it was an axe handle one time, and then the next time it was, what's that?
We had a pole arm at one point.
Pole arm fight.
It changed a few times, but the one that you got kind of gut punched with was an axe handle. Because it's
the
what
one
was
you kind of got
by.
Gut punched with. It was what was nearby.
It was just sitting there, not doing anything. And
it's just sitting there, not.
You provided a rather large target.
Oh. No, I totally understand. But let's go about the other ones. Have you always been, one of the character actors, or have you done anything else at the fair?
I squired, for 2 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
I squired for the Jousters, and that was a blast and a half. That was so much fun, and I really enjoyed it. And, of course, it was really handy that I already understood horses before I tried squiring. So, really, all I had to learn was I really had to learn a lot about their armor, because I wasn't experienced with that. And I had to learn, it's really hard to know where to stand and when, that you'll be out of their way but still be helpful. So, that was a very interesting experience. That, and other than that, it's basically been street performer and scripted and stage combat.
Okay, so scripted, street performer, and this is the part of the interview where we're kind of moving off into the, now we've got some playtime, because you've discussed everything. We've talked about a lot of the questions we're going to go through, which I'll probably add questions later on. But,
yeah.
You'll
need a few more if you want to fill, especially people like me are very, like, to the point.
Yes, you're very to the point. I will give you, like, a couple of minutes of plugging, so if you want to plug something after this, like, anything involving the hobbies or anything involved with the fair, you know, you plug those or whatever. And then what we'll probably do is I'll probably read the commercial,
mm-hmm.
and because this is our first one. We will be putting this up. This is going up.
Great, you tell me that now.
Surprise!
Surprise!
Wait, because, like, when we were talking about this earlier, he was like, maybe it might go up.
But because it's going really well, or until somebody yells something out, we're going to figure that one out. But, so we've got And now I'm
listen, kinda... there's like two people besides us in the room. Well, I'm going to say two and a half because one person came and went, and a dog and two cats.
Yeah.
So there's going to be background things that happen that you just can't get rid of. Speaking of which, the deaf dog heard me say that, and she's now
she's
like staring at me.
We'll just have to remember rule number. What do we got here?
I don't know. I didn't actually read your rules.
It would have helped. I asked you if you read the rules, and you turn around and you're like, I didn't read your rules. Number two is really important.
Oh, no cussing. Shoot.
Yes.
Did I?
No, not yet.
Oh, good.
But somebody might have yelled something out in the back.
Alrighty. Good to know.
No. Let's try that one more time. So you can't talk bad to anyone about the fair community. You can say you no agree, but you can't attack anybody. No interrupting the interview.
Oh, we talked about no however attacks.
Yeah, no however attack. So you did read part of it, just not all of it.
Yeah, just that one line, really.
And if we do talk about something negative, you can't specify a person, place, or site. Like, it's just like, you know, I was in a situation, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So let's, you said you had a little bit of problems with kids. How does that affect you as, like, a street performer? Because, you're surrounded by, this is a family event.
Yeah, there's kids everywhere. The biggest thing to realize and to know is that we are becoming a different person when we're performing. And so even though I personally don't interact well with children and they kind of scare me,
it has nothing to do with the kids. It's just a personal thing.
Yeah. Well, like I said earlier, kids aren't very good communicators. They're kind of like clowns. You know, everything looks smiley, but you never really know what's going on beneath the surface. So.
We're aiming toward that explicit content.
No, I'm trying to keep it clean. this takes a lot of work for me. But even though I myself am not comfortable with children, that doesn't mean that my character isn't. And so sometimes having that character that you can put on is really helpful because they can do things that you can't do.
Wow.
And so that's, like we kind of talked about a little bit earlier, you're not playing a character per se. You are becoming a person of the time.
That's a really good point.
I know.
And she's so modest. We've gone over the fair. We've gone over you're on. You'll be in the fights this year, but no, we're not giving away any spoilers.
No.
We went with your character. What's the theme this year? That
women's education.
A women's education.
Yes.
It's awesome. It's important.
It was incredibly progressive for the time.
During Queen Elizabeth's reign.
Yes, Queen Elizabeth I.
Queen Elizabeth I. And, huge, taking over, which was normally a guy's position, which was, ruler of the country, and she did it by herself, and she gathered people around her that supported her very strongly.
She never got married, and that was, just that alone in that time period was a huge deal. And she constantly had advisors telling her she had to get married, had to get married, had to get married, and she never did. So there's a lot going on there that we can really look at and play with and, kind of add in why we're, why are we focusing on women's education? It started happening in certain places around this time. And women's roles really started changing a little bit at this time. And that was, Elizabeth was a huge part of that.
Yeah, no disagreement here. Yeah. It was one of the reasons why the people of England just loved their queen.
She was the people's queen.
She was the people's queen. So we're getting around the 25-minute mark. Which I'm not going to say a lot in the future. I'm just going to kind of wing it. But I also want to make sure we get in some more time, and then I'm going to have do the commercial, and then I'm going to have another guest come in. And then I'm going to see if I can sort out with our microphone, see how two people can talk at the same time, see how that works. But is there anything you'd like to plug? A personal group, family business, things like that?
We can plug it all. We'll just do a quick shout out to so my mounted archery team, which is Roving Knights Mounted Archery, mm-hmm. In Virginia. And
do they have a Facebook or a...
Yeah, we've got a Facebook page. It's under Roving Knights. No website yet, but it's coming. We're currently working on a promotional video. Okay. So once that's done, we'll have some content to actually put on the website. And we are affiliated with Horse Archery USA. Really awesome group, nationwide group, who's just incredible people, an incredible organization. Mm-hmm. And my family's farm is Majestic Meadow Stables. So if anyone local in the area wants to come, you know, pet some horsey noses, that'd be a great place to go do that.
Okay. And it's Stevensburg?
Yeah, Stevensburg, Virginia.
Stevensburg, Virginia. Mm-hmm. And what do they offer?
The big city of Stevensburg.
The big city of Stevensburg.
Yeah, we don't have any traffic lights here. and so what they primarily do is natural horsemanship. Mm-hmm. And their new slogan is, we take riding beyond the saddle. They do a lot with equine psychology and herd dynamics. They also teach a winter learning series, so when it's too yucky outside mm-hmm. to actually be out working and riding, unless you're super hardcore, then there's also these winter learning series that are all theory-based. Mm-hmm. Last year, we focused on emotional fitness for training.
Oh, sweet.
So really interesting perspective on riding. And they work with kids and adults. They specialize in returning adult beginners and confidence building.
Oh, I mean, I understand that part. I really need to restart again myself. So, okay, well, we're going to say thank you to Kristen. We're going to bring her back up in a little bit after we talk to our second guest. And we're going to do a quick commercial, and then we're going to come back. So, Kristen, thank you so much for interviewing with us and giving us the time of day.
It's about 4:15
right now. You didn't hear that. Okay, and thanks, and we'll be right back. My lords and ladies, the Virginia Renaissance Fair opens this Saturday for 5 weekends of historical fun and merriment at Lake Anna Winery. The Queen has come, and the whole village is bustling with preparations. Merchants have arrived to set up their wares. The kitchens are busy preparing turkey legs and other savory fare. And traveling players are ready to amuse Her Majesty, and you. Delightful entertainments on multiple stages throughout the streets is sure to keep you captivated. Jugglers, magicians, comedians, music, and more fill the stages. Frolic amongst the nobles and fools, merchants and peasants, minstrels and dancers. Leave the 21st century behind. Join artisans, crafters, traders, and food merchants in a day overflowing with fun and history. Located on the grounds of the Lake Anna Winery in Spotsylvania. The Virginia Renaissance Fair opens Saturdays and Sundays, May 12th through June 10th. For detailed information and list of weekend themes and directions to the Virginia Renaissance Fair, go online to VARF.org. That's VARF.org. And we're back with Renaissance Recall. My name is Jim Miller, still. And I'm hosting, and our next guest is actually also on Scripted Cast. That would be Katie Hoppe.
Yo.
Great. Okay, so Katie, you're also on Scripted this year.
Yes, I am.
Okay. And which character do you do for the fair this year?
This year I'm playing Mistress Scholastica Day. She is in Staffordshire. She's an original resident. Grew up partly there, partly at sea because her dad's a ship captain. Mm-hmm. And she has been educated at the University of Florence, and she is back to start Open a Girls' School.
Oh, so that's the involved with what Kristen was saying earlier about mm-hmm. the theme this year being mm-hmm. Women's education.
This year, absolutely, is women's education. As Kristen mentioned, that was a very big piece of Elizabeth I's belief and also what she tried to push for England and the rest of her country. It was something she believed very strongly in. So that's one of the reasons that it's our focus this year at Fair. My character has the background and the training to open and start a school and to teach. But her best friend is Izzy, who is being played by Kristen.
Oh, so you two are playing best friends this year.
We are.
Okay.
We are. And it's so funny. The way it's almost like they knew us. The way it happens in real life is the way it happens in our relationship on the Scripted Cast. I'm the ideas person, and Kristen is the brains on how to get it done.
Well, if there's typecasting, let there be typecasting.
You know, it works.
So have you worked at any other fair?
I have. I have worked for 5 seasons at the Maryland Renaissance Fair.
Okay, and who'd you play there?
Let's see. First 2 years, I was on the Guild of St. George, so I was doing historical reenactment. Mm-hmm. I played Johanna Pinnell. She was a real-life person, and she worked as a wool spinner and dyer for a noble family called the Kitsons.
Cool.
Second year, I played Mistress Philippa Cudgel. She was one of the townsfolk in Revel Grove, and what a cudgel, a person who was a cudgel or a cudgeler, is someone who would make the handle to go on a knife. Generally, you would have the blade, and then you'd have another iron part that's a part of the knife that is not sharp, and it's called a tang. And a cudgeler is someone who would fit that tang into a wooden handle so you could actually grip the knife and use it.
Similar association between a fletcher and a bower.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Philippa was a twin, so I worked with one of the other guys who was on cast, and we played twins Sebastian and Philippa, and we worked around the Shire. And let's see, my fourth year there, I played Mistress Catherine Shar. She was one of the ladies-in-waiting to Aunt Princess Anne of Cleves. That's the storyline we were pursuing that year.
Oh, awesome.
Anne of Cleves had come on over to marry Henry VIII, who was less than enthused with the looks of his bride.
But he got a Lance Connect battalion in exchange.
Yeah, he did. And it's tough because Anne of Cleves is really maligned in history as being this ugly person. She wasn't. She wasn't this ravishing beauty, but she was a good-looking woman, solid German stock, so the characteristics are going to be a little different. And she was a wonderful woman, but she wasn't what he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you have is a bunch of historians at the time needing to keep the king's favor, a king who is becoming increasingly volatile and increasingly unpredictable. So to keep his favor, they're going to keep him happy. What's going to make him happy? Hey, you know what? Your feelings on this chick are totally right, even if we may not agree with you. But hey, that doesn't matter because you're the one who's on the throne and has the power to execute us.
And it's a, you know, but it's history on its way.
Exactly. I mean, Shakespeare did the same thing.
Okay. So what is, not to cut back into the questions.
Oh, no.
But what is your character's occupation?
Let's see. It is interesting. She's kind of between occupations.
Mm-hmm.
Scholastica is part of the emerging middle class that we see coming out during the Elizabethan period.
Yes.
And for really the first time, you have something that you could point to, a class of people. They're not noble.
Mm-hmm.
They're not peasants. They legitimately are somewhere in the middle. They own their own businesses. They can manage them on their own. They may have either a helper or one or two servants.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the first time we're actually seeing the development and the emergence of that class. Scholastica Dei fits in there.
Okay.
She has a small inheritance. She is well-educated. She's not married, so she's not as high up as some of the other women in the village, but she's not a servant, and she's not a peasant. And she is trying to build an occupation for herself by becoming a teacher.
Okay. So, not ruining the story or anything else like that. Are you in fights too? Because we heard that from...
I am, actually. One of the things I did at Maryland is I was one of the first female members of the Maryland Fight Corps. So I worked on a couple of different shows, and I did the live-action chess game that goes on at Maryland, which was a lot of fun to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm involved in some fights this year at the Virginia Renaissance Fair.
Awesome. So how did you get into working at Ren Fair?
I've been going to the Renaissance Fair since 1991, when my family first took me to the one in Maryland. And it seemed like, you know, it was something fun. I'm the oldest of three. My parents both liked history and literature and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So we saw an ad for this fair, and we're like, hey, you know, the kids are old enough. They'd probably get something out of it. Sounds like fun. Let's go on down. And we all absolutely loved it. And that was the first and last year I have not been to any fair in costume, whether I've been on cast or just going as a patron.
Okay.
It was wonderful. And I got into that because the Renaissance Fair combined two things that I love the most, which was history and theater. And I got to do both in one place at one time.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, so how did you get started? Did you apply? Did you try out? Did you?
Once I finished college and I was back and settled in this area, you know, I had my job. I had my commute. I figured out that,
mm-hmm.
and figured out all the lovely budget issues that you have to do when you've just gotten out of college. I auditioned and was cast in the Maryland Renaissance Fair.
Awesome.
And that was the start. I did that for 5 years. Took a break when I went back to graduate school because, as anyone listening who's ever done grad school knows, you legitimately have no time for anything else, at all. And once I was finished with that, I had started going to the Virginia Renaissance Fair for the first year as a patron, and then I started working at the bar, actually, the Barleycorn Tavern.
Barleycorn.
Mm-hmm. And then I ran the gift shop, so I was on the production side for a while. And then I auditioned, and I went back to the militia at Virginia Renaissance Fair. So I was doing my living history again.
Mm-hmm.
Loved doing that, and decided to go out for a scripted cast. And almost talked myself out of it because I looked and I realized it'd been 10 years since I had done any kind of scripted work at all.
We're not dating and aging. And remember, one of the rules is, you know, no one can talk bad about anyone in the fair community. That includes yourself.
I'm saying that it was a bit of a revelation when I realized, wow, it's actually been that long.
Mm.
Okay, we're going back and doing this. Let's go.
Well, and I normally, this is a kind of a toss-up between question 4 and 5. Do you have any good stories? And what has been your best experience? You can pick whatever one you want to do first.
Oh, my gosh. I've got some great stories. Really, almost the most continuous one is one of the reasons that I love doing fair, because it's the interaction that I get with my fellow performers. And I've traveled around a bit, and I've worked a lot of different jobs, and I've switched professions partway through my professional life, so I started on something entirely different. And the Renaissance Fair is legitimately the only group of people that I've been a part of that it's almost an automatic acceptance, automatic boom, you're in, you're part of it, let's just go. Let's just roll with it. So it is very easy to be yourself. And it's easy because everyone else is being themselves, and it is really an automatic acceptance. Mm. And I can't speak for any other fairs. But what I can say is one of the reasons I love and am happy to come back to Virginia and to do this on a volunteer basis is because of that connection.
Oh, that's awesome. That is really awesome.
One of my favorite stories is my first fight partner, who is still a really good friend of mine. He's still up, in this case, at the Maryland Renaissance Fair where I started. There was a 1 foot height difference in the two of us. So our fight kind of had to be reworked, and it turned out great. But in the photos, you can look back and I'm legitimately standing on my toes to reach him in a couple of places because he's so much taller than I am.
It's just trying to reach out for that, you know, that punch and that.
Oh, man, I have gotten the chance. I once, just for one day, I stepped in for a character who couldn't be there. So I got to do some real stretching and some real character acting, which is a lot of fun. So I smeared mud on my face because I heard that I was paying, you know, low rank peasant.
Mm-hmm.
So I smeared mud on my face because I heard that court ladies colored their faces. So I colored mine, using air quotes here. And I wanted to greet the king. So I used bunches of leaves as pom poms and worked out a cheerleading routine.
Wow.
I think I legitimately broke Henry VIII. I think I honestly did. I think I broke him.
Wow.
It was a beautiful moment.
I like it.
It was just a beautiful moment. I made leaf angels. I just laid on the ground and you know, snow angels, but with leaves. And it's experiences like that where I can push things to the limit of what I couldn't ordinarily do as a character, or, you know, what you can try and do partway on stage, but, you know, having a venue that is totally outside gives you a lot more opportunities and a lot more things to work with. I feel like I'm a little bit tougher going back into the theater because there are other people who see, oh my God, it's a spider, oh my God, it's a mouse, and I'm like, yeah, so? I clear them out of the kitchen and I pick them off of my farthingale when I'm rehearsing. What do you want?
So, what are some of your other hobbies?
Let's see. From my regular 9 to 5, I'm a museum education professional. I'm a trained archaeologist. And one of the groups that I help co-chair in Washington, D.C. is that branch of, is a nationwide group. It's called the Emerging Museum Professionals. And we're not necessarily targeted at anybody. Typically, we usually have members that are about their maybe mid-20s to mid-30s.
Mm-hmm.
But we are certainly not limited to those. It's anybody who is starting off or is trying to get ahead or learn more about their career in the museum field as a professional. So any level, if you want to come on down and play with us, we're happy to have you. We usually do one, we do one happy hour a month. And we started doing generally about two meetings a month. One is going to be a happy hour, and the other is some kind of sponsored talk. So we might be doing a special tour of a collection. We might be talking to somebody in the publicity office of a museum. We might be talking to somebody about how to build your resume, how to build a cover letter, how to give an interview for a museum job. What are some different trends that are occurring in the field? How do we stay on top of it? We're, the museum field itself is actually gearing up for our yearly conference. I think this one's in St. Louis. St. Louis.
Does the group have like a Facebook or a website?
We do, absolutely. You should find us on DCEMP for DC Emerging Museum Professionals. We are a Facebook group, and you should find us and look us up there because that is where we keep all of our most up-to-date information. That's our main way of contact.
Do you have any other hobbies that have the connections with the fair or anything else like that?
I'll read anything I can get my hands on. So I'm still a big history person, still a big history buff. I read that for fun. Shakespeare and I are in an ongoing love affair, and I don't see that stopping anytime soon.
You and about 4 million other people.
Yeah, I'm in good company. I'm in good company.
Good company.
I mentioned acceptance in the Virginia Renaissance Fair. And one of the reasons that that's particularly important to me is that I was the girl, and I'm still the girl, who will read historical biographies for fun, read Shakespeare for fun when I have a night off, and I cannot name every member of the Kardashians. I also don't care to. So finding a group that will automatically accept those parts of me when most of the rest of the world does not means a lot.
Well, sounds like a deep connection.
I do some gardening on the side. I have two cats. Let's see here. And I'm doing some fight training with Society of American Fight Directors.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. So what we're going to do is we're going to... I know you got to leave in a couple minutes. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to see if I can... we're going to pause for a second. We're going to see if we can bring Kristen back over and see if we can get the microphone to pick both of you up. And we're going to go from there. And we'll be right back. And we're back. We just adjusted to see if we can get both of them on the microphone at the same time. Ladies, if you both say hello.
Hello.
How you doing?
I think we were supposed to do that simultaneously.
Oh, okay. Well, now he tells us.
Or we can comedy it out. So both of you are playing two of the leads this year.
We are.
And any fun things, like I said, not ruining the story, not ruining any of the fights or anything, but any fun things that you guys have had to kind of put to the side or... interactions.
Wait, just like as far as rehearsals have
Yeah,
gone,
rehearsals
like anything,
and interactions.
Oh, girl. She's got that look on her face.
There's a lot of funny things that happened during rehearsals.
We're going to remind you about rule number two.
Wait. What was rule number two? Can you pop the thing back up? You can't...
Okay.
No,
so
no cussing. And
we
no
gotta keep it clean.
That's fine. It's fine. Just about dudes in a dumpster.
Actually, that was awesome.
I will have to figure out how to add this photo to.
Okay, so we figured out today how to. Here is your step-by-step guide on how to break Kristen during a rehearsal process.
Right. So we
step
were...
one. Start rehearsing with full view of the dumpster out back.
No, you couldn't see the dumpster because there was a privacy fence.
Well. Full view of whoever might be on top of said dumpster.
Inside said dumpster.
Fair.
We'll get to that.
So anyway, we're sitting, it was raining, so we're all sitting on these picnic tables underneath a tent, and we're just speeding through our lines for one of the scenes. And all of my counterparts are sitting with their backs to the fence, and I'm the only one facing it. And I got about halfway through my line, and realized in my peripheral that there's these two guys, like, on what I thought at the moment to be a trampoline on the other side of the fence.
A trampoline at a Ren Fair, that's natural.
To set the stage for you, these are two muscular, tan,
bearded,
like ZZ Top bearded, rugged dudes.
Yeah.
So these are not like college students here.
And they're giggling like schoolgirls. And all I can see behind the privacy fence is them one by one, you know, face boing, above the fence, boing, butt above the fence, boing, face above the fence, boing, butt above the fence.
Boing,
boing. And I just lost my ever-loving mind, and I stopped everything I was doing and apologized to all of the other actors that we were working with, all three of the other actors that we were working with. I went, I'm so sorry, but could everybody please just turn around and look at the dumpster? You'll understand. And sure enough, so everybody else turns around and they look and see what's going on behind this privacy fence.
We did the
guys in the dumpster trying to compact down the trash in the dumpster.
We did the only thing we could. We started to applaud. So they said thank you. They noticed us. They said thank you, and they said the show is just for us, which was very, very sweet.
Yes.
We'll have to get somebody from the Green Knights and the White Knights.
We can tell
to come
you exactly
and...
who it was.
No. You're not. Isn't there a rule?
I said we could. I didn't say I was going to.
We can't out anybody.
I'm not outing anyone. I said I could. I didn't say I would.
You can use names as a positive. It's just if there's a negative thing you're talking about.
In that case, I was incredibly, incredibly humored by our Green Knights. I believe it was Benji.
It was Benji.
And I think Chris was in there. There was a few of them. There was
Chris
three.
Was in there, but he
we'll
was
hold
the one
off
the one
on last names
on
in case, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One guy. Of them doesn't want to be heard about.
Oh, and
you know?
The other guy, he feels great now.
Yeah, I know. Right. You can cut that, right?
But there is a photo floating
yes.
around on Facebook. It was not, the photo that was taken is nowhere near as entertaining as what
saw.
But
it's great.
It's still pretty awesome.
So it gives you an idea of what it was that Chris saw.
Oh,
and
God.
On that, huge shout out to our Green Knights, who are absolutely phenomenal
you guys are
and amazing. Because without them, we wouldn't have had the tent to be sitting under, we wouldn't have had the picnic tables to be sitting at, and we would not have had the privacy fence behind which they were jumping up and down. So without them, we wouldn't have had any of that.
These are crucial elements here, people.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's one thing at Virginia Fair that, you know, one, the cast is volunteer, the directors are volunteer.
Everybody's volunteer.
Everybody's a volunteer because we're just trying so hard to bring it back.
We don't get paid for any of this, and that should tell you how much we believe in it.
Yeah.
That's
definitely.
That's a good strong point.
How much time do you have? Because there's more stories.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, rock on. I mean, we have to, we're limited by, I know,
let's see.
Ms. Hoppy has to head out shortly. You know, you don't have to break because I'm leaning towards about an hour, but it's about 48 minutes now, which is fine.
It is interesting because every time, you know, like especially being unscripted this year and getting a chance to work with Chris, and getting a chance to work with a lot of other actors I just haven't had the chance to before, it is interesting because it's like a switch gets flipped for me. Mm-hmm. I get on Farsight, and my filter disappears. It is just off. I will say, and it's not bad, but I will say the first thing that comes to my mind, and I will be cracking a bunch of jokes, and I can pretty much guarantee that the people who see me in my everyday life, 9 to 5, would be like, what the blank is wrong with you?
See, it was bleeped, or so we could fit into rule number 2.
Yeah, see?
Well, maybe we'll develop a...
That part of the filter is not
maybe
quite
we'll
off,
develop but... more of a Virginia Renaissance Fair after
dark.
I was going to say after the gate closes.
After dark is better.
After dark may not be... It might break one of the rules, so we're going to we're going to be careful about that.
Oh, my God.
Also, we have... you know, since it's our inaugural podcast, we're definitely going to have to put a shout-out to Cornelia Rutherford.
Love you, Corny!
Most definitely.
We love you, Mom!
I'm actually emailing her right now.
During the podcast? That's so
yeah,
weird.
Well, she sent me an email first, okay?
That's
we
fair.
Are multi-talented here, people.
So, Cornelia Rutherford, who got up the gumption to start a new fair in Virginia after the old one had closed.
And you plan on interviewing her, right?
I desperately plan on interviewing her. In fact, she's going to be probably one of the first ones to receive a copy of this interview for checking and things like that. But do we have another minute or two?
Yeah.
Okay. So give me another hysterical commentary about our scripted cast or events or things that are happening with the cast that you guys both saw or individually saw or.
So there was a pretty hilarious moment. I think it was last weekend where we were practicing our fight scene, our fight for scene 3.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And it was an incredibly windy day.
It was. Oh god.
And So
we had like 35 mile an hour gusts.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. Awful. And so there was a lot of humorous stories, just overall because of the wind. I know there was a moment when a bunch of folks were trying to put up a tent.
I was there for that one.
Yes, you were there. We were holding some poles.
We had a couple Mary Poppins almost moments there.
Right. Well, we had this tent started picking up the wind, and it started to like hoist up the five or six people that were trying to just put the tent up, and it was going to fly away on them.
It's revenge hoisting.
And so, you know, we kind of got hollered at, hey, Scripted, come help hold down this tent. And we all ran over and, well, I mean, honestly, Travis ran over first because he's just a gentleman and a half.
I think I was like, I was standing there in a farthingale for the first time. And I was like, I don't know how to move in this yet.
Right. And it's really funny because Katie and I, neither one of us is tall. By any stretch of the imagination. And so we ran up to help and like went to reach up to grab the bars of the tent and couldn't reach it anyway. So we were pretty useless.
A bit of an issue here.
At that moment.
We can provide moral support. We're really good at doing that.
That's incredibly true.
Yeah, we are very good at this. We just may not be able to provide support that requires height. Right.
Well, once they actually got the stakes in the ground, I became useful because I can time
We're
that.
Good at ballast.
But that was really funny, just watching this tent pick up and like the five or six people that were under it just desperately trying to hang on.
Well, it's also great when we're watching the tents get set up because typically the top part of the tent will get set up first and then that will need to be shifted. So you look over and you see a very Monty Python-esque top of the tent moving majestically across the field, and you know there's people under it, but you can't see that. It's a tent top in a field of grass. It's really very beautiful.
Right. And on that particular day, wherever the tent went up is where it stayed.
Yes, it is.
There was no way that we were untying anything.
I don't want to think about taking those things down when we're done because those things are staked to heck in the ground.
Right.
Oh my god.
So the other bit about this day, so we're rehearsing. The whole point of that was that we were rehearsing the fights for scene three.
Yes.
And at the moment where my character ends up actually on the ground, mm-hmm. this big gust of wind blew, and I was in my skirts. I had jeans on underneath, but it didn't matter.
Because, the entire world rejoices.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Love you, honey.
But when I hit the ground, my skirts blew all the way up, like, over my head.
Like, whoosh.
And thank God I had the jeans on.
There were legs and boots and then this blue skirt, and that was it.
And that was it. I was just completely enveloped in my skirt. And I could hear our fight director behind us, because I was desperately trying to scramble to, like, pull the skirt back down. And I could hear our fight director behind me going, "Forget about the skirt! It's too late!" The whole world sees your jeans. You're fine.
he was also looking like he had a couple of the things he wanted to say and was just like barely stopping himself.
That happens a lot. Like,
yeah, filtered. It does. Yeah. It does.
Completely filtered.
It's you don't necessarily want the fight director filtered. You like him unfiltered. It's a lot easier to work.
I could just hear like these little comments in the back. Well, you're going to wear bloomers, right? Yes, I'm going to be wearing bloomers. Nobody wants that. So. But yeah, it was as soon as I hit the ground, the skirts and everything just went right up over my head. I couldn't see my fight partner anymore, which was fine.
Oh, he was doubled over laughing, trust me.
When I finally did get out from underneath the skirt,
he was like,
everybody else was cracking up, so.
It was great.
You know, as long as I was down there, might as well play with it and, you know, just kind
of. She also wound up taking about half of the little green field where we were rehearsing with her because she's, as her character is rolling on the ground, you know, stuff collects and it goes, and so it's kind of like, okay, turn both of us upside down after the fair day and just shake us to get all the grass out.
Shake everybody out. You know, but that comes with, if you're gonna end up on the ground, know that the ground is gonna come up with you.
You know,
when
get up. Go big or go home, people. You're on the ground anyway. Embrace it and use the moment.
Yes.
Okay, so we're heading out pretty good. So I'm gonna say the Virginia Renaissance Festival starts May 12th and runs for 5 weekends, and the tickets are $10 a piece. Free for children under five. Five and under are free. And you guys open, what time does it open during in the morning?
We open at 10 a.m. and we go until 5.
Okay. And you guys, is there a show that starts beforehand?
Yes.
Or?
Let's see, our opening gauge show is probably going to start about
Yeah, about 9:50.
About 9:50. So that typically, because the gate has to open about 10 o'clock when the queen arrives, so our gate show is probably going to start about 9:45, 9:50.
Oh, so you guys proceed in just a little bit before the queen.
Yeah, a little bit before, kind of to set the stage.
Oh, no, we don't go before the queen. She goes first.
But we warm up the crowd for the queen. Let's put it that way. If you decide you like the story and you'd like to continue, after dancing at the Maypole at 1, we'll be talking a little bit more about the school at 1:30. And the final matter will be decided at 3 o'clock on the Little Green Field.
Sounds good. And there's going to be vendors and other entertainment and everything all over.
There's
going to
be
other
shows as well. There's a court show. There's going to be the Court of Common Pleas. There's the Court of Love. There is going to be an Elizabethan costume show.
Oh, that's a really good question to add. What's your favorite show at Fair?
So you realize that our schedule for the shows at Fair is like a full page back and front on five stages. That's an awful lot of...
Oh, okay.
And like, there's not a bad one.
No, it's really not.
And I totally agree.
We can talk about ones that we like the most.
I would say, so if the Rogues are playing, I'm there.
Yeah.
That's...
Yeah. Court of Common Pleas is a ton of fun to do. That is largely unscripted.
It's
so
all improvised.
Yeah, it's
so
a, yeah. It
you
is
never know
completely
what's
going to
happen.
Sometimes we get friends of ours from New York Renaissance Fair come down and play with us.
Mm. Pittsburgh
comes over and plays with us, and it is always fun to see our friends from those two fairs.
And Maryland, there's several Marylanders that'll come down and play.
I happen to like the costume show. Part of it is because I'm in that. But the other part of it is because, again, I get to do the two things I like the most. I get to talk about history, and I get to perform.
Oh, that's great.
So it's just, it's a lot of fun. And that is, that is one where Cornelia and I are the two people who are doing that show. Mm-hmm. We will drop accents on that because what we're doing is talking to you about the history of why we're wearing what we're wearing. This is why we're dressed that way. This is what materials we can wear. Mm-hmm. It actually is regulated by law. Here are the laws. And it's a really very interesting look into what day-to-day life was like.
See, my favorites are all shows that are people doing amazing skills and amazing feats that I can't do. So, you know, I really enjoy watching like Circus Stella Class Clown. Well, he's not Class Clown anymore. What's his new...
No, I thought it was...
Well, it's from previous years, and they may or may not be there this
year. Oh, yeah, no, I know what you mean.
So he does this amazing stunt show, which is awesome. And London Broil.
Oh,
With their juggling.
They're really
that
good.
That stuff fascinates me because I have a hard time, like, you know, if someone flings their car keys at me, I'm probably not catching them. And so, you know, somebody who can, like, stand on a board, on a ball, and juggle anything between
including
them.
Chainsaws, and I'm not kidding about that one.
So that
and
just
talk to the crowd at the
me.
Same time. Like, hi, how's
it
going? Have a nice
and
day.
It's so
like, holding
second
conversations.
Nature. It's so second nature to them, and it's just muscle memory, and I'm fascinated, and I'm always just completely zoned in.
That's amazing.
Whenever I watch them. That stuff is really cool, and Brady does all of his crazy flips and acrobatics, and that fascinates me.
I'm in awe of this child, and I say child just as a pejorative term. He's not a kid any longer. but I'm always continuously amazed by his ability to remain alive.
Yeah, I think that's how he made it this far.
I'm
pretty sure.
I'm pretty sure that played a part in his career.
Right. Well, and Circus Stella, you know, Stella's actually the name of the dog.
Oh, yeah.
but Dexter and Jenna, first off, if you can have an animal, any animal, in your act and maintain the pattern, not scripting, but the flow.
The flow, yeah.
Of the act and do it the same way all the time, and they do it with multiple animals.
Yeah, it's not just their dogs, and their dogs are highly trained and very good at what they do, but still,
right.
It's an animal, it's unpredictable.
They work with kids, too.
Which is even worse.
And they always say what kids and animals are the two that are the most difficult to work with, and they do it with all of the above.
And somehow they make a very good living and a great show with it, so, I mean, hats off to them.
Well, and Jana's got the $1 million smile.
Seriously. Woman could light
up. Oh, she does. She's the one who does the sky.
She does the silks.
Sky silks.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And you can see her smile from all the way at the front gate.
Yeah. I think it actually shines through trees.
It does.
So, Well, and this is going to close out our very first podcast. I might do the second podcast very quickly, and it might actually be an interview, having somebody interview me, so people actually know who their host is and what my background is, and it probably means I'll talk more, which is probably bad for everybody. But thank you for joining us for Renaissance Recall. My name is Jim Miller. My two guests are Katie Hoppe and Kristen Erlitz.
Bye-bye.
And we're going to end the podcast like we started with a great tagline, I hope, which is, we're bringing history to life, so come out and play with us. Thank you very much for coming and enjoying our podcast, and we'll talk to you soon. Thank you much. Bye.
Jamboree, ho, jamboree, ho, jamboree, jamboree, jenny, keep your tailpiece warm. Now, me lads, be of good cheer, for Lundy's Isle, it holds quite near, so it's way down below, and stow your gear. Jenny, keep your tailpiece warm. Ho, jamboree, ho, jamboree, ho, your ringtail sailors, coming up behind, ho. Coming up in sight, on the port bow, sitting Lundy's light, we'll be stoking up some fires tonight. Jenny, keep your tailpiece warm. Ha! Jamboree, ho! Jamboree, ho! Your ringtail sailors coming up behind. Ho! Jamboree, ho! Jamboree, Jenny, keep your tailpiece warm. Pilot cutters coming up ahead. There'll be no more horse meat or hardtack bread. Tonight we'll sleep in your feather bed. Jenny, keep your tailpiece warm. Ha! Jamboree, ho! Jamboree, ho! Your ringtail sailors coming up behind. Ho! Jamboree, ho! Jamboree, Jenny, keep your tailpiece warm. We'll make port by the end of day. We can see the girls standing on the quay. And as we leave, we'll be getting our pay. So, Jenny, keep your tailpiece warm. Ho! Jamboree, ho! Jamboree, ho! Your ringtail sailors coming up behind. Ho! Jamboree, ho! Jamboree, Jenny, keep your tailpiece warm. Several weeks on shore, but a sailor lad, he must roam forevermore. So it's fare thee well to me, Liverpool whore. Jenny, keep your tailpiece warm.
Come on!
Ho! Jamboree, ho! Jamboree, ho! Your ringtail sailors coming up behind. Ho! Jamboree, ho! Jamboree, Jenny, keep your tailpiece warm.
Look at me now!
Jamboree, ho! Jamboree, hi, your ringtail sailors coming out behind. Ho! Jamboree, ho! Jamboree, Jenny, keep your tailpiece warm.
One, two, three, four!